Amen. Thank you, Travis and Praise Team. You always do a fantastic job leading us in worship, so thank you so much. If you got a Bible, if you'll grab it and turn to Matthew chapter 5, we're going to continue our Reset series. We're going to look at revenge today, obviously, as Josh did with the children's sermon. Just a couple of things, and as you're turning to Matthew 5, let me share a story with you. Tell me if this may sound familiar. Maybe you've heard something like this. A story of a high school kid that had a job. Worked as a waiter, and he was it was just a summer job, and one of the things that he hated most was when a group of his high school buddies would come in and they would eat at the restaurant, because they would always make fun of him. They made it their life goal to just mock him, make fun of him, leave extra messes. Okay, so they had to, like, you know, they did it so he'd have to pick it up. And if they really wanted to stick it to him, they wouldn't even tip him. They just made it miserable and miserable and miserable for him. And finally, in this restaurant, this other adult saw it and had had enough. You ever seen that when you see kids act a certain way? Maybe they don't, whatever. But finally, this adult said, I'm done. I'm going to step in with this and say, you know what? If you guys don't stop this, I'm going to go tell your parents and all this kind of stuff. And grabbed the boy over here, and he came over and said, you guys need to say you're sorry, all these kind of things. And what happened was, the bottom line, at the very end of this conversation, they said, we're sorry, we won't do it again. And this kid who was a waiter said, okay, it's not a big deal. I've been spitting in their food for years. If they'll stop, I'll stop. And it was like, well, that's not what I was going for. Which, you know, the moral of the story is, you don't ever be ugly to a waitress or a waiter. You know what? That's not the place. That's not the time to do that. But that's a perfect example of what we're going to be looking at today, of taking matters into your own hands, this idea of vengeance and trying to get even, if you will. As growing up, I had an older brother, and if you have a sibling, I guarantee you there was some point of your life where you had a story, whether they broke your toy, and you go to their room, you're like, I'm breaking two of yours. You know, they messed with your Legos, I want to break two of your Legos. You do this, you do this. And I can tell you countless stories of my life when I took it upon myself in my, I guess, childhood wisdom, if you will, of thinking, you know what, I can't beat you up, but you know what, I can break your stuff. I'll go tell mom. I knew all these things, and it was my goal that I was thinking, you know what, it was retribution. You come after me, coming after you. Double fold, and that's how it works. And it was just kind of part of growing up, and that's what Jesus is going to talk about today, of this idea. And what I'm going to say is not trying to flip it upside down. What he's trying to get after is the heart of these people and say, no, this is what a right-side-up world looks like. You want to follow me as we're looking at this Reset series. We've covered a lot of things. I'm not going to go through all of it, but of most recent things, we've been talking about what it looks like to follow Jesus. You can call yourself a Christian. You can associate yourself with him. We've talked about that a couple weeks ago, and have nothing of him, not know him. And I hate to say it, but if you just want to associate him when it benefits you to do so, that is not what Scripture calls someone who's truly following. That is not someone whose heart has been transformed and redeemed. And it is those moments, yes, in those moments where it is almost impossible, where we cannot be obedient outside of the Holy Spirit empowering us to do so, that we reveal and we show ourselves to be true followers. So in these hard conversations, Jesus is doing what he calls, well, what we call Sermon on the Mount. He's talking to his closest followers on the mountainside. You got to picture everybody, his most intimate and probably crowds gathering around him. And what he's looking at, he's talked about, or we've talked about, anger, forgiveness, all of these things that are almost impossible. Now, I need to keep that in context to what we're looking at today in this idea of vengeance or revenge, if you will. So let's read our text and jump into it. Matthew chapter 5, if you would please stand. I want to read our text and we'll pray. We got a shorter text, but we got a lot to cover, so I hope you have your Bibles. As always, be on the Sky Bible if you want to read along with us. Matthew chapter 5, 38 through 42. Jesus continuing says this, you've heard it said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist the evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him on the other also. And if someone wants to sue you to take your tunic, let him also have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you. And do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Let's pray together, excuse me. Take a deep breath. Just like Josh said earlier, let's just take a deep breath and relax for a minute. I don't know what your week looks like, but here's what I'm going to ask of you. In your own heart, in your own way, would you ask the Holy Spirit to move in you, to change you? I can't do that, but he can. And if you're willing and you want to be receptive today as we continue to worship from song into the word, would you ask him to do something in you today? If you don't mind, pray for me that I would preach the words he would have for us. Father, you've heard your people. What a joy it is to be here and to hear the church collectively sing and what corporate worship is designed to be. To give you our best with our voices, with our hearts, with our minds, and to read your word and have it taught and spoken in front of us so that we can put ourselves against it and be changed. Father, for those who asked that this morning, would you do just that? To change us and do something great today. And let this not just be business as usual, coming to church and listen, learn, leave, and repeat and go on with our days. But on a simple Sunday, I can't believe I'm saying this, but in August, that you could do something great in this church today. From the youngest to the oldest, that you would be amongst us, change us, mold us, shape us, convict us, empower us, whatever you seem to do today. May we respond accordingly. We ask it in the great name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Well, today's text is hard. As they've been talking about anger and forgiveness and all these kind of things, there's a theologian named John Stott. Well, he calls this idea, this part of this of Jesus' sermon, it's the most admired, but he also says it's the most resented. And this is the fifth statement, you probably heard this as we've gone for 2 or 3 weeks, of Jesus saying, you've heard it said, but now I'm telling you something different. My paraphrase. He refers to the Old Testament. He refers to the Mosaic Law. He refers to the Mosaic teachings. And what he's going to go back to, he says, you've heard something, but now the application of that in a deeper sense is not about the external deed. We talked about it last week. I can say I forgive somebody. I can release anger. I can do all these things. But in my heart, if I'm still holding on to those things, well, I don't care what kind of apology or external thing that I've done, it's worthless. Parents, you've ever had your kid come up to you and say, I'm sorry I did this, I'm sorry I did this, and finally you get to the point of like, stop telling me you're sorry. Show me you're sorry. You're sorry, it's falling on deaf ears because your actions are speaking so much more. I don't want to hear that. Maybe there's a relationship or maybe it's in your marriage or something like that, but hey, stop telling me, show me. Let something in your actions, in your life, reveal to me that you really are sorry. And I think that's profound here. What Jesus, if you hear nothing else today, he's going after the heart. He's going after who we really are. We don't change on the outside in. We change from the inside out. Jesus transforms us. He changes us. And when he does so, he does things supernaturally that in us that we can never do by ourselves. Now, this idea of revenge, you know, we talk about it a lot. And in our world, we have this idea. We love what we call rights. We love things about what we are entitled to do. And rights can be a positive thing. I mean, things in our world, I mean, things search for injustice or fighting against injustice. It could be civil rights, human rights, children's rights, foundational things to human flourishing. Very positive things could come from that. But if you go a little deeper beyond that, in our heart of hearts, the sinful nature of who we are, there can be a kind of a determination for, quote, our rights, what I deserve, what I feel entitled to. And the human heart can, if we're not careful, every one of us has this. I'm at the top of the list. We have deep in our sinful nature this retaliatory lifestyle that we often desire. We even applaud it. We can't even make folk heroes out of them. And I'm fixing to go through a couple of movies just because I love talking about movies. And a couple of different genres, generations. I remember growing up, I watched a lot of Westerns with my dad. Raise your hand if you've ever heard this one. If you've not, it's okay. The Outlaw Josie Wales. Okay? Starring who? I'm just looking for the hands raised to see if you really watched it. Clint Eastwood. You know, he went on a rampage and revenging his family's death. Okay? Any Star Trek fans in the room? Me neither. I don't know. I just thought I'd ask that. Anyway, I just thought it's funny. But I remember a long time ago, there was one called Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. Ever heard of that one? Nobody else? It's okay. It's old. But I remember Khan, the whole movie, he was trying to hunt down the Enterprise to get to Captain Kirk to revenge something that had taken place. All right, now let's keep going. Rocky IV. Ever heard of it? Rocky IV? Greatest Rocky movie of all time. I judge you if you say any Rocky's better than that. It's okay. That's between you and the Lord. Rocky IV. Right? Okay. Rocky IV. It's the whole thing happens. Remember, Rocky's not gonna fight the Russian named Drago. Man, thanks. This is kind of fun. He's gonna fight Drago. He's not gonna fight him. He's done. But then Apollo fights him, and Drogo does what to Apollo Creed? Kills him. Okay? Little cinematic, you know, drama there. So all of a sudden, now what's Rocky going to do? He's going to fight the Russian. He's going to go to Russia. He's going to fight him and beat him up on Christmas Day. All because he's going to avenge Apollo. I want to watch that this afternoon now. Or there's another movie, Gladiator. You seen that movie? You know, Russell Crowe's in that movie. Maximus, I love it. It's one of my favorites. He's going to avenge his family's, his death. Another one of my favorites. I don't know if it's telling of me, but all of these revenge movies are my favorite. I don't know if that's telling of my heart. But Tombstone, remember the one of my favorite, when Wyatt Earp goes after all the cowboys because they finally had enough. They shot up his brother, and then he goes after anybody wearing a sash. What's he going to do? He's going to kill them. And I love, there's a line in that when whatever his sidekick, Doc Holliday's there, and they're like, why is he doing this? Why is Wyatt doing this? He goes, you know what? If they killed my friends, I would want revenge too. And Doc Holliday says, no, it's not revenge he's after. It's the reckoning. It's deep in his heart, it wasn't just about revenge. He wanted to have the reckoning and go do that. That's who he was. And last but not least, just a modern one, Joker. You know, the character Arthur Fleck in the movie, he lives with his mom, he's bullied, he's isolated, he's disregarded from society, and all of a sudden it leads to this criminal mindset of seeking revenge and vengeance, and it's a deep, dark thing. It's all about trying to get even with those who were against him or treated him a certain way. I say all that just because I love movie references, but also this idea of revenge, desiring vengeance, retribution, retaliation to achieve satisfaction in doing so. It is so ingrained in us. It is so ingrained in who we desire to be in the flesh sometimes and deep in our hearts. Part of that human nature is to want to take matters into our own hands. And even when I say this and I talk about some of the things today, you're going to think, that's impossible. There's no way. But in the context today, what Jesus is going to get at, he's going to get at the hearts of these Jewish Christians, these people that have come from Judaism. And in the context, they have a misconception of what eye for an eye is. I hear that all the time. You know what? You come after me, eye for an eye. You quote the Bible and say, I'm going to come after you, eye for an eye. But we misunderstand what that means. Jesus is going to speak, and he's going to bring complete understanding of this. Because if we look at all of Scripture, I'm getting ready to get to our text. If we look at all of Scripture, James chapter 4 jumps out at me. When we look at quarrels and fighting and what causes those kind of things, Scripture in general says, don't look at other people. You got to look at yourself. But it's so easy. I could point out everybody else's failures. I could tell you where they're wrong. I could tell you, justify why I'm going after them with my words and my actions. I could do all these things. But James chapter 4 says those quarrels and divisions and fighting, it does not come from those. It comes from within. And in that sinful moment, when I seek revenge with my words, my actions, and my lifestyle, justice becomes perverted. And it turns into vengeance, and it turns into retaliation. It literally has less to do with justice, and it has more to do, hear this, with me feeling better about things. I don't care if it was my brother, I don't care if it was people, whatever. If I've ever said or done something to try to, quote, get even, I never really felt that good afterwards. And as we get to our text in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is going to unpack some truth here. He's going to pull back the layers, he's going to get to their hearts. In verse 38, look at your Bibles with me. He says, you've heard it said. He says this over and over. You've heard it said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. Now let's talk for this just for a minute. In 5:38, Jesus says this, and what this is this refers directly, it's in quotes for a reason. He's referring back to what is called the law of retaliation in the Old Testament. I'm not going to go through all of them, but Exodus 21, Leviticus 24, and Deuteronomy 19. All of those reference that, but here's what we misunderstand. The text that Jesus is revealing to, even with the Old Testament Mosaic Law, it's not about trying to bring vengeance and justice, even though we want to twist it and turn it into being that way. It was the law, and it was its way of trying to keep people from being taken advantage of. The text specifically deals with compensation to be paid. We'll see that in just a minute about the lawsuit and those kind of things. Compensation if somebody's hurt. The ruling was intended to limit revenge. It was to show mercy. It was to say, basically, don't take matters into your own hands. Trust the civil authorities. Trust those around you. to bring justice. You see, an eye for an eye in the Mosaic Law, it did several things. And culturally, it was huge. And I want to kind of put this out there. Number one, it was to ensure equality. The people were not to be taken advantage of or exploited. And number two, it ended what we so rightly want to quote this scripture to mean. It ended, or was supposed to end, revenge. Don't take matters into your own hands. Punishment must fit the crime. All of these things. But hear this. It comes from the civil court, civil authority. It is not to be taken into your own hands for you to determine to be judge and jury and executioner to step in and say, it is my right and my role to get even. Now, looking at your faces this morning, you're probably thinking, yeah, that's kind of weird. Somebody comes after me, I'm going after them. Somebody says something about my wife, guess what, I'm talking about their wife. That's weird, I don't know why you do that. But here's the thing, friends, it is so easy and ingrained in us to feel like that's just kind of part of nature, part of who it is. Kind of like anger and unforgiveness. This is how God made me. That's actually not how he made you. You are a sinful human being, but when you are born again, made alive, you are filled with the Spirit. And what are the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. If you're like me, we lose self-control, but we can repent and we can come back. So Jesus is going to kind of debunk what their understanding is, and he's referring back to this Mosaic Law. And I love this. I don't have time to go through all of this, but you could go back and you can study if you want how the Mosaic Law led to where we are almost in modern times of our court system and of how we are, of having a system set up for justice and things like that to be taking place, of criminals and things like that. But Jesus, he's going to peel back the layers of our hearts as we get into 39 and 42, through 42, excuse me. And how we deal with people, how we deal with difficult people, how people may be dealing with you. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about that you may be the difficult person for somebody else? All the jokes are saying, hey, if you got no difficult people in your life, you may be that person for everybody else. I love this because Jesus is so clear. Look at 39 through 42. You know, you've heard this. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. We've debunked what we twist and turn that to be. But listen to what he says. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you to take your tunic, let them also have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go a mile, go with him 2 miles. Give the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Verse 39, amongst the Jews, just like today, but amongst the Jews specifically for context here, striking someone on the face was the most demeaning thing you could do. One of the most contemptuous acts. You could go back, I mean, just to refer these kind of Matthew 26, Mark 14, John 18, to strike someone else at any time that happens in Scripture was meant to demean people. It was just horrible. It was worse than causing bodily harm. It was to go after somebody's honor. And there may be some in the room, and I get this all the time with people who say, Pastor, you telling me if somebody comes to punch me in the face, I'm supposed to let them punch me in the face? Let me explain that just a minute. First of all, run fast. I'm just kidding. I won't say that. Look at the text here. A lot of commentators will agree on this. 90% of the population is right-handed. Josh, stand up for just a minute. This isn't planned, but I'm just going to do it. Stand up for just a second. Scared you, didn't I? 90% of the population is, you can stare right there, social distance. Sir. I'm just kidding. Totally kidding. 90% of the population is right-handed, okay? I'm going to slap you, just hold on a second. No, don't slap him. 90% of the population is right-handed. Josh, would you point to your right cheek for me? Okay, how am I, I'm going to, 90% of the population is right-handed. Now, how am I supposed to do that? Like, I mean, how are we supposed to do that? You could turn that way. Do you see what I'm trying to say here? We're not talking about a physical assault. We're talking about a demeaning slap, a right-handed. Now, if you're lefties, you can go too. But a lot of commentators will help us understand this is not a physical assault. This is not somebody come up and attacking you over. You can sit. I'm not going to slap you. But this is not a physical assault of somebody come up and not stopping you. You know what? You can run fast. You can defend yourself. You can be smooth. You can be quick. You can be de-escalate the situation. But what he's referring to is somebody going after your honor and disrespecting you. And doing a way that's going to come after your integrity of who you are. And this is what's kind of hard here, because we want to look at this, we want to twist this, turn this into this Americanized Christianity of, you know, nobody does anything. I'm coming after you 10 times as hard. And it's not true. Verse 39, he's referring to an attack on our character, attack on our integrity, things that are said to demean, and you probably had that said, and you probably had people said it about you. But what if somebody's telling lies about me, Pastor? What if somebody is spreading rumors about me? What if somebody is falsely accusing me of something, making me look bad, calling me names? What do I do then, Pastor? Well, Scripture gives us detail on Matthew chapter 18. You go talk to those people. But we don't want to do that, do we? We want to take matters in our own hands. We want to talk about them. We want to gather, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. We want to gather friends around us and start talking this and start doing these things and slander people. And what Jesus is emphatically saying, hear this, waive your rights. Anything you think you're entitled to, waive your rights. Relinquish those things. And I know that flies all over every movie you've seen, everything you've been taught, everything that maybe your mom or dad are taught, all those kind of things. I'm telling you, but here's understand what Scripture's telling us is that you waive your rights, you de-escalate the situation as a follower of Jesus. But David, don't I have to set them straight? Don't I have to threaten them and physically hurt them or protect my character, protect my reputation? And Jesus says, no. Look at me, friends. I know this is weird. And some of you are going to check out this morning because you don't want to hear it. I'm just going to be honest with you. Because you know, we have created something in our culture that's not true. It's a lie of this idea of I'm going to take matters in my own hands. And I don't know where it comes from other than just sinful hearts thinking we try to kind of create a Christianity where we get to do what we want to do and kind of feel like we're still following Jesus. Jesus says, no, it's not about you. Yeah, if you got a problem, if they said something, does something, go talk to them. If they listen, take somebody with you. But there's no place that I've read in Scripture that says escalate things with violence and go take matters into your own hands. And I look at Scriptures, you know, even in Isaiah 53, talk about what Jesus' death, and you're thinking, oh, I know it's Jesus, but Jesus is God. But yes, we are filled with God, the Holy Spirit, if we're following Him. Jesus' trial before Pilate, Isaiah 53:7 says, He was oppressed, He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. Like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before it shears is silent. He did not open His mouth. This turn the other cheek, it means we don't respond, retaliate verbally. We don't try to argue back. We don't try to make a scene. We don't try to get even, if you will. Pastor, but that's Jesus. I can't do that. This goes back to what I'm saying, and I'm putting myself here because this is hard, because I told you, I think it's pretty telling of my heart when I love those movies where they're going to go get even. They're going to go get them, and they're going to... But if the Holy Spirit, who is God Himself, is indwelling within us, we can through Him. You see, Jesus, hear this, friend, hear this. Jesus was accomplishing the mission and the purpose of God in that moment. Allowing things to unfold and letting, hear this, the Father be in charge of justice and mercy. And that's my point. In church, it's Holy Spirit stuff because it's about the kingdom. And what Jesus does is He uses four illustrations to help us understand this. In verse 39, He talks about turn the other cheek. He wasn't asking us to do something He hadn't done. 1 Peter 2:23, when they hurled insults on Him, He didn't retaliate. When He suffered, they made threats. Instead, He entrusted Himself to Him who judges justly. When someone attacks us, hear this, I know it's hard. I know it's going to be difficult and you're going to think this is impossible. But when someone comes after, says, does, whatever, it's not supposed to be our role to try to get even or retaliate. I don't care what, where we got that from or whatever. It's not from Jesus. We are to lead and leave the protection and the defense of our dignity to the hands of the Father. And the hard part is to know that sometimes in this life it doesn't take place. The Scriptures say they all will stand before the Lord and they will receive the just judgment that's due. Look at verse 40. This is why I said in context, it's good for us to understand about legal terms to make sure people aren't taken advantage of. If someone sues for your shirt, or a tunic, if you will, give them your coat. you know, suing was part of things that are taking place here, and Scripture is very clear about that. But this is not just some idea that we could just kind of clap out of and think that's not about us. The context here that I don't want us to miss is that something is taking place, that there is some sort of cause or thing happening for someone to be taken to court who says they're following Jesus. And what Jesus is saying is, if that happens, if there is enough evidence against you to be taken to court, you don't need to sit there back and try to be ugly. But here's what he says. He says, we're not determining guilt here, but he says the evidence enough is to take one to court. He says, if that happens, show the love of Jesus and the grace and give up beyond what is expected. You see, back then, with clothes, this is kind of interesting. Back then, when they didn't just order on Amazon or go down to the mall, whoever goes to the mall anymore. They didn't just order things. They had to make their clothes. So this was something about giving something that was valuable, something that was worthwhile that they made and they created. So we can't blow this off and think, well, I've got drawers full of clothes. Hey, take all this stuff. You see, Jesus is addressing the attitude of believers that we hold things loosely and we imagine and we hold fast to him being utmost in our life. We embody generosity. And I know you're going to think, oh, that's soft, that's weak, that's not the... It's not. I would argue that it's harder to de-escalate a situation than escalate it. Anybody can do this. Anybody can throw a punch. Anybody can say a bad word. Anybody can do that. But to diffuse in obedience to Jesus any angst with generosity, that's spirit-led stuff. And sometimes, I don't like this, sometimes in our obedience to Jesus, ready for this? You're going to get taken advantage of. You ever try to be nice to somebody and it kind of blew up in your face? You ever try to be generous to somebody and it just kind of totally did not go the way you thought it was going to? I like what Spurgeon says. Spurgeon says, sometimes we have to be the anvil while bad men are the hammers. You don't want to hear that, do you? We want to be the hammers. 41. He says, if you're forced to go a mile, go two. You see, in Jesus' day, the Romans would pass through and they would quickly, and they would grab people and say, carry my stuff, carry my equipment. And they didn't have the option to say no. Here's what happens when somebody infringes on your quote, end quote, liberties. It says, hey, come on, carry my, leave your family, whatever. You carry my armor, you carry my stuff. Yes, we're pressing you. Yes, we've done this. We've imprisoned your family. But carry my gear. I'm going to fight people probably you love. This is where it's crazy. Jesus says, yeah, if they want you to go a mile, go too. And we go the extra mile to show the love and kindness of Jesus. A life that doesn't respond like everybody else. A life that's different. A life that can point to him, and it's hard. Yes, almost impossible. But Jesus carries our burdens just like in forgiveness. He does it so that we can also. And in 42, he says, if somebody begs you, look at your scripture. If somebody begs you, somebody asks to borrow something, we give. If they beg you, and here's what happens. I become incredibly possessive of things like that, don't we? Somebody asks for some money, somebody asks for some gas, somebody asks for this. We are experts, and I've had to be convicted on this in the past, because all of a sudden we become experts at other people's intentions of what I'm going to give them. I'm going to give money, but they're going to go use drugs. I'm going to give them somebody, but they're going to go buy cigarettes. You don't know if they're going to do that or not. My wife had to set me straight a long time ago, because apparently on every vacation and trip we went on, everybody asked me for money. I don't know what that meant. Literally everybody, it didn't matter if we were in Durango, Colorado, whatever, people asked me, I'm like, whatever. And there were times when I said, I don't know. I said, I don't know what they're going to do with it. And she had to like basically rebuke me and be like, that ain't your job. You give. We love. We serve. And don't be cheap about it. I'm a cheapskate. Just throwing it out there. Give them your best. Somebody wants to borrow something, give them your best. Somebody needs a vehicle, don't give them the clunker that barely starts. Give them the better one. That's the what if they world that I live in sometimes, because I've predetermined what they're going to do with it. Why? I could go on and on, stories of things like that where we could talk about all these things. Turn the cheek. Somebody's trying to take, we're to be generous. They ask us to go a mile, we go above and beyond. If someone asks and begs of things, we give beyond than they need. What's the point of all of it? Are you telling me, Pastor, that apparently we're just supposed to get slapped around, beat up, taken advantage of, given all of our stuff away, broke, poor, homeless, and just weaklings Christians? That's what we're supposed to be. No. And don't let the enemy kind of come in your brain and start thinking things of something that you're not going to be. That's not it. It's harder to do the things that Jesus wants us. It's impossible. But with him working through us, we can do that. Because this kingdom living, we've been talking about how to deal with anger, how to deal with forgiveness. Oh, Pastor, but now you're talking to me that I can't get even with people. I'm not telling you that. Jesus is telling you that. This kingdom living as a follower of Jesus, it is different than everybody else around us. We've been talking about this, these natural inclinations of our heart. You hate me, I'm going to hate you. You want my shirt? Get your own stuff. We don't like to be told what to do. We don't like for people to make decisions for us. Stand up against things. Stand up, rebel. Don't get pushed around. Stand up for yourself. Do all these things. Do you feel the weight here? See, Jesus looks at his followers in ancient times and us this morning, and he's talking about a change that is supernatural. And before you write me off and say, oh, Pastor, you lost me a long time ago, I'm not doing any of that stuff. The life of a follower, this is where it's deep, it's heavy. Hear that. It's not about you anymore. Jesus says, hey, you going to follow me, friends? It's about me, not about you. And let me get to my point here, because here's the thing, is that when we become holy, we become different, we become set apart, we become distinct. Like I said, anybody can throw a punch, anybody can use a bad word, anybody can retaliate, but all of a sudden somebody says, you know what, I'm going to handle things the right way, the biblical way. We point to Jesus, because that's the one that can change us. It's about being different, being holy, being set apart. And you, if you find it in your that says to blend in and do what everybody else does and still try to follow Jesus, I haven't seen it. But I read 1 Timothy 1:9 that says that God saved us and called us to live a holy life in this, not because we deserve it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Jesus. Hebrews 10:10, for God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Now, I need you to hear this as I kind of tie these things up. I need you to hear this. The call to follow Jesus, I've said it repeatedly, it is a call to die. It is not about you. And as one commentator put it, the only person who is non-defensive, non-vengeful, never bears a grudge, and has no spite in his heart is a person who has died. To fight for one's rights is to prove that self is still on the throne of our heart. It is impossible. This is so hard. It is impossible to live for self in Jesus at the same time. It is impossible to fight for your rights and fight for King Jesus at the same time. It is impossible to elevate oneself on the throne of your life and live for King Jesus. It doesn't work. And we relinquish those things. We relinquish ownership. We relinquish reputation. We relinquish things that are, quote, ours. We are his. My wife is not mine. My wife is his. I'm stewarding. I'm able to serve and love my kids, time, resources, talents, career, relationships, money. It is all his if you're a follower of Jesus. And this is going to be hard to say, but if you don't want it to be his, then don't follow Jesus. Because when Jesus says, when you follow me, it is a call to die. You die to self. It's about my kingdom. It's not about David anymore. You don't elevate yourself. You don't raise the banner of David, Azam, and live in this life and try to make your name and do this stuff. No, it is not about you. There are times when you're going to be taken advantage of, you're going to respond differently, and you're going to have to show the grace and mercy of Jesus or fail massively and repent and apologize to people. But it is not about you anymore, David. That's what the point of it is today. I was reminded of a theologian named George Mueller. This is really cool, so bear with me for just a minute. George Mueller was a native German. He was born in 1805. He lived almost the whole 19th century. He died in 1898 at the age of 92. Listen to what he says here. I won't bore you with all the cool things that he did, but listen to what he says. He says, there was a day when I died, utterly died to George Mueller and his opinions, his preferences, and his tastes, and his will. I died to the world, to its approval and its censure. I died to the approval or the blame of even my brethren and my friends. And since then, I have studied only to show myself approved under God. And for me, church, this screams Matthew 16. If you want to follow me, you want to be my disciple, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow. Let me ask you a question this morning. I know it's hard to hear these things, and it's hard, but you know what? It's like my dad would say to me, and I would say to my kids, let me look at me, friends. I know it's hard. Just because it's hard doesn't mean we're not supposed to do it. Arguably, the hardest thing is usually the right thing. Parents, you probably told your kids that. Anybody can do that. Everybody's doing that. That's easy. Being different, saying no, being kind, being generous, apologizing, not seeking revenge, showing kindness. That's Holy Spirit type stuff. If you follow Jesus, have you died to self? Jesus asked us to do these things. Love our enemies. Pray for those. That's what's coming. Don't seek revenge. Sacrifice yourself for others. Give generously. Love because he loves. We can't do it by ourselves. It is an overflow of the Spirit of God working in us. Would you consider yourself a disciple? And in that discipleship, if you will, would you consider yourself one to say, I'm denying myself. I'm fighting against that flesh. You ever said that? Well, the flesh took over. Should have said that, should have done that. And those happen, and those failures, and the Holy Spirit nudges us back. But are you willing to follow? Hear this morning, friend. Are you willing to follow Jesus on his terms, not yours? That is a loaded, powerful statement. And I'll tell you something, it wasn't even in my notes. But are you willing to follow Jesus on his terms, not yours? That's the question of the day. Last, and I'll close with this scripture, Romans chapter 12. Paul in the church of Rome goes through all these things right before he gets into chapter 13 about, you know, obeying the laws of the land and governing authorities. And look at what he happens in Romans chapter 12 in verse 17. Listen to what he says. As Paul is emphatically and powerfully being true to what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, he's doing it for the church of Rome. He says, don't repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Verse 19, do not take revenge, my brothers, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. Hear this, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Does that sound familiar? If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals, quoting Proverbs 25, on his head. Do not overcome evil with evil, but you overcome evil with good. In that text, real quick and I'm done, in Romans chapter 12, that text about the coals, that goes back to the Old Testament with judgment. And commentators they kind of vary on this about what it means in the varying coals of what that means. And he says, you know what, one school of thought is that we can love our enemies in a way to intensify God's judgment upon them, to bring them to God's judgment. And the other one is to bring shame on our enemy that might lead them to repentance and lead them to salvation. But either way, hear this, we love. We respond. We, as followers of Jesus, God help us, we respond rightly when we are wronged. We don't take matters into our own hands. We don't try to get even. We don't do all the things that the flesh so rightly wants to do. We can do all that without Jesus. And revenge may look different for all kinds of people. There may be things that have been said to you about you or whatever, or done specifically to you or someone you care about. We forgive. We don't treat them ugly. We don't ignore them. We don't talk about them. We don't do these things. We don't take in things into our hands. And my prayer today is this. As hard as it is to hear, starting with myself, is that we would examine our hearts, our relationships, our influence, and see if we have some business to do with the Lord and maybe other people. And that our church, First Baptist Church Olton, as followers of Jesus, not people who want to associate, just kind of call themselves a title and don't want to follow, have nothing to do with him. People that are truly going to follow him, that we might, as I've been saying it for the last 3 weeks, that we might live out this life-changing message of Jesus. Filled with the Spirit, doing things and living in a way that doesn't make sense to the lost world at all. But our lives can powerfully point King Jesus. And he gets all the praise and all the glory. Let's pray together. If you would take a deep breath, I know it's a hard text and a powerful text to hear, but just take a deep breath. Before we sing a song that's asking, you know, to draw close to the Lord, I'm not asking you to think about those that have wronged you or those kind of things or people that you're, that's not what I'm asking. Would you put yourself against the text today? What might the Lord be speaking to your heart? If you know Jesus, if you're following Jesus, if you have given your life to King Jesus, and he has specifically told you, this is how you want to do this. Is this how I want you to do this? Excuse me. How are we doing in that? If you are like me, and there's so many times of epic failures that may or may not reveal itself in actions, but in my heart, the things that I think or the things that I get frustrated with, it's just as bad. So if you're like me, then maybe today is a little bit of repentance of saying, God, I'm sorry. I've been living for myself. I've been telling you no. I've created this cultural Christianity where I get to do and say and live how I want and still kind of indulge you when it's convenient. That's not how it works. And maybe your prayer today is this, with nobody looking around, but your prayer today is this, is that Jesus, help me, empower me as a follower of you to follow you on your terms. Not what I've created them or kind of made them out to be. That's my prayer for us. That's my prayer for myself. If that's yours, you pray and you respond before we sing. We celebrate.